Word of God is written. Maybe sometimes the way some people bring it across makes it seem irrelevant. When you look at the world, the word might seem irrelevant because people living in the world believe that they don't need the word of God. Well, you see, it was once said that you can live without Jesus, but you better not die without Jesus, and that will never change. Because if you die without him, you will realize that everything pertaining to him was in fact extremely relevant, and by that time, there's nothing that you can do about it. So the word of God is relevant, and the word of God has a lot to say about how we should live our life, how we should conduct ourselves in different situations. The word of God is full of wisdom. And I want you to understand something. It is not filled with man's wisdom. It is filled with wisdom that came through the Spirit of God to help us to understand what God expects of us. You know what? When you are out of line, you tend to get into trouble. I don't know about you, but nobody really likes to get into trouble. See, you were in trouble a lot when you were younger, am I right? Yes. Did you like it? No, you didn't. Macy, did he like it when he used to be in trouble? No, he never used to like it. Now, the thing is, the only way for us to make sure that we don't get into that trouble is to do what is expected of us. Today, I want to read you this scripture. It comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 12. To me, it's actually a wonderful scripture, and it has spoken to me many, many times in my life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us over into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Let's look at that scripture with you. The first thing is we need to give thanks to the Father. In this context, why must we give thanks to the Father? He says because of this, because he has qualified you. Look at your neighbor and say, you are qualified. You see, down here, there's all sorts of reasons why we're not qualified. One is too old, one is too young. You know, I've heard many times somebody applies for a job. Oh, you're overqualified. I don't know how you are overqualified for a job, but apparently that can happen. Down here, we've got all sorts of things that determine whether somebody is qualified or not. The scripture says to us, who has qualified you? You are qualified. I've got good news for you. I don't care what the people down here told you, but the word of God tells you that you are qualified. You have all the attributes. Everything that you need is available to you to be a brilliant child of God. Amen. Okay. Who has qualified you to, listen to this, to share in the inheritance? I'm not trying to be negative here, but down here, you have to have somebody die for you to inherit something. In the kingdom of God, it's no different. Somebody had to die for you to inherit something. But the fact of the matter is, God rose him from the dead. That is Jesus. Because he died, you have inherited a lot of things. You might not know what you've inherited yet. Maybe nobody's explained it to you. I like to use an analogy. Let's say that your great-great-uncle Dave, twice removed, living in the UK, passes away and he had no other siblings or family members or whatever, and he leaves a fortune to you. We're talking pounds, let's say 10 million pounds. That's just like, oh, yeah. 10 million pounds. And right now, you are in a situation where you don't know how you're going to pay the car, you can't pay the house, you haven't paid the medical aid in 2 months, blah, 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 blah. At the same time, you are both poor and filthy, stinking rich. Because that money has already been allocated to you, but the fact of the matter is you don't know about the money. That's how a lot of people's lives are down here. A lot of things have been allocated to you. It is already yours, but because you don't know it and you don't go and take it, you can be both poor and rich at the same time. Poor because you don't know, rich because it's already been given. It's there. Now, let me teach you something about the Word of God. You don't just have it because it's there. You have to take it. Amen? Let's talk about salvation. We are not born saved. I don't know if you understand the concept, and maybe it is just worthwhile talking about that because some people have a really warped sense of understanding of salvation. You are not saved because you get born into a Christian household. You get saved when you make a decision to receive salvation from God. One of the best scriptures that puts it across to us comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus is speaking and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If you," that means we have to do something, "if you will open the door and allow me to come in, then salvation can enter your house. But you've got to do something." Now, it's exactly the same. Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, let me qualify something, or clarify something. A lot of people say, "Oh, I'm a believer, I should be fine." No. The Bible says even the demons believe and they tremble. You have to come to the place that you open the door and you allow him to come in. The Bible says plainly to us in the book of James, chapter 2, I think it's verse 19, it says, "You believe in God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble." Are demons saved because they believe? Demons can never be saved. So the fact that you believe does not make you saved. The fact that you accept and receive what God has given you, that brings you to the place of salvation. So let's get back to the scripture. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you." Once again, look at your neighbor and say, "You are qualified." Why is it important for us to know that we are qualified? Because the devil is going to come to you many times and tell you that you're not qualified. "Oh, you had an affair when you were younger. Oh, you stole all of that money. Oh, you broke off the car, you lied to the insurance." Yeah? There's a couple of people going all red here now. I really don't understand. The BC days, yes. Raise your hands if you never messed up in the past. Then I'm preaching to the right crowd. I'm so glad you're here. You are qualified. I do not care what reason the devil is giving you why you can't have this or can't have that. The scripture says plainly, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints." Listen to me, my friend. Somebody died 2,000 years ago, and whether you know it or not, whether you understood it or not, you stand to inherit something amazing. Firstly, you can inherit eternal life. But then there's a lot of other really big blessings that come with that eternal life. "To share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Now, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us over into the kingdom of the Son that he loves." This kind of like explains what happens when we enter into salvation. We get taken from darkness and we get brought over into light. This passage describes what happens in the spirit the day that we make the decision to serve Jesus. Getting back to the book of James, chapter 2, verse, no. Getting back to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking." That day when you get the understanding, when the revelation comes to you that I'm a sinner, I am removed from God, I am far away from him and I need him in my life, I want to fix my life, I choose to repent, yes Lord, I open my heart, please be my Lord and Savior. That is the day that this scripture kicks in. Through the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, life enters us and for the first time, our spirit becomes alive. Now this is very important. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. I want you to close your eyes quickly. Close your eyes. What do you see? Well, the best answer to give you would probably be nothing. That's what your spirit sees removed from God. Your spirit sees nothing. Because your spirit is in darkness. Even though your body might be in the light, when Eskom decides to do the power thing, we are in the light. Your spirit can be in the darkness. You can open your eyes again. Now, why is that a problem? That is a problem because your life cannot be blessed if your spirit doesn't know where to go. Does that make sense to you? If your spirit is blind and walking around in circles, your life walks around in circles. Because our natural man is simply a reflection of what our spiritual man is experiencing. If your spiritual man is stuck in a pit, you as a person are stuck in a pit. If your spiritual man is walking around in circles, your life goes around in circles. If your spiritual man is blind and cannot touch the blessing of God, your physical man is blind and far removed from the blessings of God. You know, when you are blind and there's a fork in the road, you don't even see the fork in the road. You run straight into the tree in the middle of the fork in the road. There's a lot of people sitting here today, that's exactly where your life is. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong constantly, and you always make the wrong decisions. What's the problem? Your spirit man is blind. And because your spirit man is blind, he cannot leave the natural, so therefore the natural is messed up all the time. Okay. Through the Holy Spirit, life enters us, and for the first time, your spirit becomes alive to God and to the things. God. Every one of you that is here today has a destiny. There's a reason why God put you on the earth. I've got some very good news for you. Who can I use as an example? Dennis. Dennis the Menace. And Mr. Wilson. We've actually got both of them. Yeah, there's Dennis the Menace and Mr. Wilson is somebody else in the leader. Okay, so Dennis. You are not some kind of a weird science experiment where God one day thought to himself, man, let me create this weird looking dude that's going to cruise around on this planet. No, God said, I'm going to make Dennis. He will be fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to make him for a very specific purpose. I'm going to endow him with every ability, every gift, every function necessary for him to be brilliant and excellent at what I have placed him on this earth for. And I am going to ensure that he can do it with excellence. That is inside of you. You might not know about it, but it is inside of you right now. The thing is, until his spirit doesn't become alive to God, his spirit will never know what God put inside of him. One of the biggest problems that we have down here is that we live our life removed from God and we just hana, because we never discover what God has placed inside of us. Once again, close your eyes. If I bring something wonderful into this room and I put it down in the middle here, let's say I put a table here with, I'm not going to put food because you'll smell the fruit. I put a table here with presents for every single one of you, but you do not open your eyes. You will not even be aware that it is here. It is the same with us. We've got things inside of us. Thank you. You can open your eyes. The moment you open your eyes, you can see the table. You will see your name on the gift. You will get up. You will walk to the gift. You will take it. You will receive it. God wants us to then to get to that place where we begin to see. Now, the scripture says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us over into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. The Bible says that when we get saved, we are brought over from one kingdom to another kingdom. That is very important. We are no longer in that previous kingdom. Now let me show you another problem that we sit with. When we get moved over from one kingdom to another kingdom, let's say the dividing line is here where the little pulpit thing is. Let's say the dividing line is here. Let's say that this is the kingdom of darkness and that is the kingdom of light. We are hana around here in the kingdom of darkness. One day we come to the revelation, the realization that we need God. Salvation enters us. Jesus comes into our life and we cross over. Is that where things are supposed to end? That's where things end for most people. And that's why most people have nothing to show for 20, 30, 40, 50 years of Christianity. They got nothing to show. Can I tell you why? Because they move from darkness into light, but they're still hanging around the border. They're still like, okay, cool. Let me ask you a question. Where is your destiny? It's not at the border. It's down there. There's a road that you've got to walk to get to your destiny. Your destiny is not one step into the kingdom of God. Your destiny is way down that road. And the further you can get down that road, the more you're going to understand about what God has planned for your life. So, however, as we have now crossed this dividing line, the idea is not to remain hovering on the boundary line for too long, because the closer you remain to this line, the closer you are still to the influence of Satan in your life, because there you serve Satan. Yeah, you serve God. The problem is you can't cross over and say, I serve God, but you keep looking at the things of Satan, because it will pull you back in. You've got to move away. Every believer should at that point immediately begin the journey that would lead them away from the kingdom of darkness and down towards the destiny that God has for them. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, listen carefully, like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Here's a novel idea. Maturity is available not just in this world, but even in the spirit world. And God wants you to come to a place of maturity. Give me a couple of the problems of immaturity. What are some of the consequences of immaturity? Can you give me one? A problem of immaturity. How many of you know stupidity? Stupidity is one of the problems of immaturity. You make stupid decisions because you're not mature enough to understand that this is going to be a problem. Amen? Probably that's one of the biggest problems that we face with. When we are immature, we mess up all the time. Immaturity can be linked to a toddler. Can a toddler ever be a brain surgeon? Well, I'm sure they would love to try, but they can't practice on my brain, I can tell you that. It's not going to go well. Are you going to give the keys to that new Lamborghini, Ferrari, Porsche to your five-year-old? I'm sure they would love to drive it, and I'm sure they're going to show you they can. But they're going to wrap it around the tree, and they might die in the process. Why? Because they are too immature to take it. Now, there's a lot of things that God wants to give you, but as long as you are immature, God will not give it to you because you will destroy it. A lot of us want, oh, Lord, I want a lot of wisdom. You're too immature. Oh, Lord, I want to pray for people and they must get healed. You're too immature. Oh, Lord, I want to start my own business and I want to do this. You're too immature. The Bible says we must grow up in our salvation. What does that mean? That means you can't stay where you are. You have to move away from where you are. And that is extremely important. Listen to me carefully. Salvation is not a destination. And that's where a lot of people make the mistake. But Leon, you don't understand, 40 years ago I gave my life to God, everything's fine. No, it's not, because you're still stuck at 40 years ago. You never moved on. You never showed God maturity. You never grew up in your salvation. So therefore, you've never received me. Yes, I thank God that you have received salvation. But you are not useful to God. You are not useful to yourself, because you are still a tiny little baby in the spiritual things of God. Therefore, you're not useful. Therefore, a lot of the things God put you on this earth for, you can never achieve, because you can't give that to babies. Amen. We have to grow up. Salvation is the beginning of a journey. And if you stay on that path and continue in your faith, you will reach that destination that God put before you. Think of the word destiny. The word destiny comes from destination. If you want to reach your destiny, you have to be on your way somewhere. You can't be sitting. You can't be idling. You have to be moving. You have to be going forward. Matthew chapter 7 verse 14 says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. I want to talk about that. I'm going to repeat the scripture. Listen carefully. Small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. I have some concerning news for you. Heaven is not going to be overpopulated one day. In fact, there's probably going to be a lot of space. Can I tell you why? Because God's word confirms to us that not that many people are going to be bothered to stay on that road. For some people, it's going to be too difficult. For some people, it's going to be too complicated. For some people, it's going to be a waste of time. But the biggest problem is most people are going to prefer the wide road. Don't be mistaken. Even though few will eventually reach they growed. At the end of their journey, many people will be introduced to the path. This is what I want you to understand. It's not a case of nobody will actually find the road. I do believe to some extent every person will be introduced to the road. But not every person will choose to follow that road. That you have to understand. There was one day, I was in a church, and there was a young man that came and stood in front of me. And when he came and stood in front of me, I saw a vision. When you see a vision, let me maybe explain, there might be people here that have never seen a vision. When you see a vision, it's not like suddenly everything disappears and like this huge panoramic scene comes in front of you and everything else is gone and this is all you see. It's normally a quick flash, boom. Like something that quickly comes and then disappears, but you can bring it back. And as this Oki came and he stood in front of me, I suddenly had this vision. I saw him standing in front of two doors. The one was a very, let's call it, fancy looking door. It had, you know, one of these, what do you call that thing that's around the door? It had a very ornate, very, call it beautiful, golden frame. It looked fancy, it looked wow. The other one was a very ordinary, almost looked like a farm-style door. You know, like you would find, if you go out here in the Free State and you go into a farm that's existed for the last 200 years and it's still got the same door, it looked a bit like that. It was very plain. It was just wood. There was nothing fancy about it, and it didn't even have a fancy handle. It just had like a lever that you put. And he was standing in front of this door, and he kept looking at this fancy. He stood in front of the two doors. He kept looking at these fancy doors. And then suddenly I saw the other side of the two doors. And I saw that the door that he was going to go through, he was about to go through it. It was just a pit. But the other door had a long road. And you know what? That blew my mind because I immediately knew that God is talking to this boy about the decision that he's making with his life. In my vision, I saw two doors. God speaks about two roads. And I prophesied over him. I said to him, this is what the Lord says to you. Your life and your lifestyle has chosen to go through this door. This is what is waiting for you on the other side of that door. There is a dark, deep abyss. And once you fall into that abyss, I don't know if you'll ever get back out of it. But there's this other door. It looks interesting. It doesn't really look inviting. It looks like, you know, a bit bland and a bit blasé. And if you think about it, that's how worldly people see the kingdom of God. It's like, oh man, you know what, it's boring. But why do I want to do that? You know, this is for old people. No, it's not. Because going through the uninteresting door, if you can call it that way, going through the door that God wants you to go through leads to a long road that will eventually bring you to a place of prosperity, that will bring you to a place of life, that will bring you to a place of blessing. And I said to him, the Lord says to you today, you have to make a decision about your life because you are just about to go through that door. Now, if you think about it, there is a very good chance that Satan was about to take that young man's life. I can't prove it, but I know the vision that I saw. He was about to stretch out and open that other door, and the abyss was on the other side. He looked at me with his big eyes, and he actually started shaking. Now you must understand, when God gave me that word was also spoken over the demonic powers in his life, and they knew God is speaking. He began to shake. He looked at me. He said, I don't want to fall in that pit. I don't want to go there. I said, well, there's only one way for you to avoid that. The road that up to now you've been rejecting. The door that up to now was too uninteresting is the only door that will lead to life. Because the door that you've chosen leads to death. Why did God give it to me that way? I don't know. But maybe if I just spoke to him about salvation, he would have told me, I'm not ready for that. But the way it came shook him. His whole body was going like all funny. Probably the demons in him manifesting already. And you know what he said to me in front of the whole church? He said, I want to make my life right. I want to go into that door. You know, I started praying with him. All sorts of things began to happen to that young man. Every demon involved in his life started activating, going all funny and all weird. But you know what? He prayed a prayer of salvation with me, and I said to him, as an act of faith, I want you to walk through that door. And he did. He walked through that door. Can I tell you something? His life changed that day. God healed him. He wanted to be a truck driver. But he had epilepsy. His whole life was to be a truck driver. From the time that he was so small, he always used to play with trucks. You know, he still plays with him. Yeah, I know. But you know what? At heart, he's 4 years old, same as me. So here's the thing. Because he had epilepsy, he was not allowed. He wanted to be a truck driver. He ended up being a butcher. Not by choice, by default. He chose to go through the uninteresting door. Do you want to know what God did for him? The next week, he was delivered of the spirit of epilepsy. The demon of epilepsy came out of him. How do I know? Because he was foaming at the mouth and having seizures and all sorts of stuff, but the spirit left him. He asked me, do you think I should go for my trucking license? I said, you don't doubt what God has done for you. Go for it. You know, not only did he get his trucking license, today he has a license to drive hazardous chemicals. They sent him for tests because they knew that he had epilepsy before. They sent him for tests. They put him in a room where they had flashing lights and all sorts of stuff to try and trigger the epilepsy. Nothing. In the end, they had no choice. They had to give him his certificate. But he made a choice that day that changed his life. Today, he has a career. Today, he's a happy man. Today, he's blessed. And there was a lot of other changes that came into his life, and I'm not going to go into all of them right now. But I want to say to you, every one of us, this is the reality. There's these two doors in front of you. The devil makes the one door look like, you know, it's like in the spirit world, there's these big neon signs like, enter through here, happiness guaranteed. Oh, joy unspeakable. What? If you're a man, there's a couple of scantily clad ladies on the front of the door. If you're a woman, it's like a whole bunch of credit cards. Like, this is what's waiting for you. But I want to tell you something. The devil's best attribute is his public relations department. Because he makes it look like life with me is going to be phenomenal, but the destination is horrible. You don't want to go there. Okay. The problem is the other road, the wide road, looks easier. It looks wider. It looks more exciting. But you must never lose sight of the fact that only one road will lead to what the Bible calls everlasting life. Because the other road leads to death. No matter how you look at it, it leads to death. And this is what I want to bring this down to. It's all about choices. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all about choices. I said to you already, there's going to be people standing in front of God one day when judgment is passed, and they're going to be like, oh, but why must I go to that place? And then God's going to simply say to them, it was your choice. Listen to me very carefully. Nobody is destined for hell. People choose to go. Hell was not created for man. Hell was created for Satan and his demons, but there's people that choose to go there.
He was very involved in drugs.
Yeah.
And then he came and something very big happened for him. And then in that same week, he led him to God. To the even of God. And 4 days or 5 days after that, this boy went into coma and he died 3 days later. Yes. But the fact he made a decision, he didn't know he was going to die that way. But he did it.
Amen.
Do you remember that?
I do. There was a young man that came to us. He had all sorts of problems. And when he came to us that day, I actually spoke to him about salvation. And he
He made a choice. He accepted God. All sorts of demonic things manifested in him. You know what? He did not know that that same week his life would be taken from him. But he had the opportunity to meet with Jesus. We know that we will see him on the other side. You know, that reminds me of that scripture that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Some people, not tomorrow. I'm too young. I still want to have fun. Well, you don't know when your life will be taken from you. This is something we can't play with. This is about decisions. And I will say to you that there's going to be people one day, they're going to say to you, I don't want to go to that place. Or why must I go to that place? This is not fair. You know what? Don't blame God. Blame the decision that you made. In fact, blame yourself. Because everybody stands before two doors. It's your choice to either unlock the fancy one or the dull one. It's your choice to choose. It's your responsibility to make a decision between the wide road and the narrow road. And I do want to say this to you. It is maybe not necessarily as glamorous to be a Christian as it is to do certain other things. But one thing that you have to take into account, you are not making a decision just based on your life down here. You are also making a decision based on your future for one day. Because when you leave this earth, life doesn't cease. You know, a lot of people have this thing, but you know what, when I die, I close my eyes, I sleep, and that's it. No, I've got news for you. The moment these physical eyes close, the spiritual eyes open, and then you will see what is really real. There's either going to be demons coming to fetch you or angels coming to fetch you, my friend. Let me help you to understand that. There is an angel of death and a spirit of death. In other words, a demon of death. When you do not know Christ, when Christ has not entered your life, you open your eyes on the other side and the demon of death, the grim reaper, that thing with the sickle and the horrible face, comes to say, finally we meet. Let's go. I've got interesting things planned for you. And you're like, how do we go with you? Sorry, pal. It's in the contract. You have to terminate your contract with Satan and get a new contract written in the blood of the Lamb if you want the angel of death to come and fetch you. When the angel of death comes, he's clad in white. There's light shining all around him. He will have a smile on his face. And he will say to you, welcome, well done, faithful servant of God. Let me come and show you your reward in heaven. That's all based on the decision that you make down here. And you see, a lot of people, they choose the trick of the enemy. It's like, I want lots of women, and I want lots of money, and I don't care how I get it. I'll walk over people, I'll abuse people, I'll do whatever, so long as I'm fine. Well, you're fine, that's your decision. But understand something, decisions have consequences, and one day you will be confronted with the consequences. If you don't be confronted with it down here, you will be confronted with it in the afterlife. But you don't get away with nothing. Therefore, we have to deal with this rubbish and we have to make the right decisions. So it is all about choices. Everyone is confronted with many choices and many decisions every single day. But I want you to remember something. No matter what your decision, there will be consequences. And I don't want the word consequences to be only negative. If you make a decision to do something good today, the consequences will be good tomorrow or in the afterlife. Not every reward that comes to us is going to come to us in a physical way. Some of our rewards are meant to be spiritual, because the Bible says, do not set aside for yourself riches down here, but rather, do what is necessary for you to put treasures in heaven. I don't want to have all my blessings down here. I need a lot of blessings on there one day. And if God chooses to allocate certain things for me for one day, well, bless God. Then one day I'm going to be extremely blessed. But it will be based on the consequences of the decisions that I make down here. Sometimes I meet people who are angry with God for something. Maybe where their life is, or what's going on, or what's not going on, or whatever. But if you listen to their life, I want to explain to you how it works. When you sit and talk to me or somebody like me about your life, I'm going to listen to where your life is right now. You know, know what, I'm in the pit and I've just got problems and I've just got issues and nobody loves me. And okay, fine. And then we have to try and figure out why is it like. Because you must understand, it doesn't just happen. We're talking consequences, or sometimes there are consequences. Now we talk about your life. Then I find out that you stole money from this oak and you defrauded that one and you did this and you did that. I was sharing with some people this week, talking about consequences. My father goes to pray for a man in hospital. We're talking about probably 15 years ago. Actually, Matthew wasn't even born yet. It was 20 years ago. My father goes to pray for a man in hospital, which is a noble thing to do. He prays for this gentleman, and the following day, my father goes for a follow-up visitation. This gentleman is like, oh, I'm so happy that you came to pray for me. I'm so blessed. I want to do something for you in return. My father says to the guy, you know what, you don't have to do nothing for me. I do this out of the kindness of my heart because God called me to do this. It's fine. The guy says, no. What you did for me meant a lot, and I want to do something to bless you in return. He says to my father, I have a contact at one of the abattoirs, and we can get meat for a very, very good price. Going back to that time, whatever price he gave my dad was about half the price that you would be paying if you go to your local butcher. Even back then, meat wasn't the cheapest thing in the world, so it sounds quite appealing. When he said that to my father said, well, are you sure it's fine? No, I can get as much as you want. You got family, you want other people, I can help them too. So my father phones me, he says, oh, you'll never guess what happened. I prayed for this guy and he wants to bless me. He says, I can get meat for this price. He says, you can also get. I said, oh, damn, that's very interesting. Okay, fine. My dad orders, I order. My dad's friends order. Some of my friends order. Everybody's ordering meat because it's very cheap. You know what they say when it looks too good to be true? Now, here's the problem. Because my dad went to pray for the guy, and the guy said he wants to bless in return, nobody saw any red lights. This is all above board, you know? So the day comes for the meat to be delivered, and of course the meat never arrived. But don't worry, there's a good reason why, because the truck got hijacked. Oh, yeah, shame, you know, that can happen. In South Africa, you have to just accept certain things. Okay, fine. But don't worry, they're going to wangle another truck. Next week, the truck will be there. Okay, fine. We phone everybody. Don't stress. Don't panic. This is what happened. The meat is coming next week. Next week, apparently, the freezer broke. There was a problem. You know, after a month of this, now we're all beginning to feel a bit decidedly stressed about the whole situation. I'm not going to share too much more. All I want to say to you is this. This man had the audacity to use sort of God to wangle his way in to steal. There was never any meat. There was never nothing. This man was a con man. And this is where I want to talk about decisions, consequences. When my father went to pray for this man had debilitating, crippling arthritis. I will never forget, I saw his hands. This man wasn't that old. He was probably in his 40s. His hands looked like 120-year-old. There was just the bones, the joints were massive, and his hands were completely deformed. Completely. He had so much arthritis in his hips and in his knees that he couldn't walk at all. Why did he have that? Because of what he did. And you know what? He was stupid enough to even in that, when he was in that position, where the consequences of his life were so clear, he still kept doing it. When God gave him an opportunity to repent. Now, I want to say this to you. He had his opportunity. He stood before the two doors. He laughed at the other door and he said, I love what I'm doing. I say to you, sometimes people complain and they moan, but all it is just the consequences of the decisions they made, the consequences of the life that they lived.
He ended up in jail.
He ended up in jail. I think he was sentenced. Let me just share with you this. We go to the jail. We go to the court. Now we have to appear in court. He got caught. The big mistake that he made was that I knew a bunch of people at a certain police station. I won't mention the name. And I got all of them to buy meat from him. He had about 15 policemen on his desk because he took their money.
That is
what's going on. So anyway, they went to his house, arrested his backside. So we go to the court. Now we have to go and give testimony. There is like 100 people at the court. Do you know what we find out? All of these people were defrauded by the same man. Yeah. And all of them said if they could get their hands on him, that man that day would have been lynched. He was going to be set alight or something. But to make a long story short, he spent, I think, the next 25 years in prison. I think he probably died in prison because his health was really, really bad. But he can't stand before God one day and have an attitude. Because he simply received the consequences of the decisions that he made. Decisions do not just affect the natural realm. They make very big waves in the supernatural realm. And when those waves begin to come, people are not always sure what caused it. You know, when you take a stone and you drop it in water, it causes a ripple effect. It might take a week or 2 weeks before it reaches the other shore, but it's going to keep going and keep going until it reaches something else. And sometimes, because it takes time for it to come back, by that time we know, like, but where is this coming from? It's coming from what happened there and there and there. Our decisions have consequences. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 to 20 says the following. I want you to listen very carefully. This is God speaking. See, I set before you today life and prosperity. Did you hear that? Look at your neighbor and say, today, life and prosperity is available to you. Life and prosperity is available to you. Life and prosperity. This is God speaking. What does God put in front of all of us? Here he goes. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. There's four things in front of you now. What you choose is what you will get. And then you can't complain when you get what you chose, because you chose it. I said before you today, life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today. Do you hear that? God doesn't say, I suggest that you. He says, I command you today. Listen to this. I command you today to love the Lord your God. You better love God. Make a choice. If you haven't made a change, make a choice. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, his decrees, and his laws. Why? Because then you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Why do we want to choose the right? Why do we want to make the right decision? Because the consequence will be life. It will be multiplication, which is what we all really want. And then he says, but if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, then I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. The same God that can give life can also release destruction based on the decision you make. Many times we blame God. Do not blame God. Where you are right now is based on decisions that were made. Sometimes it's not your decisions. It could be your ancestors. But it's still decisions that were made that affect you. Not God. He tells us straight, this is what's available. Be careful how you choose. I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land that you are entering to possess. This day, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. This is what's available to everybody in this room today. Life and blessings in this hand. Death and destruction. Life and blessings, death and curses. It's your choice which one you will choose. And sometimes the packaging of the death and the curse looks really nice. But you better not take it. You know the story of Snow White? The apple looks so nice because... Yes.
Let's say that the packaging is so cute.
Yes.
You don't know if it's wrong or not. How do you know that you're doing the wrong thing?
The only way to know whether we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing is to truly know the Word of God. I'm not talking about... Okay, she's asking an interesting question. What if you really, really, really don't know? You might not know right now, but very soon, if there truly is a problem with this package, it's going to reveal itself in some way. If you haven't gone very far down that road, you can turn around and go back to the other road. But if you begin to see, you know, like it's like Snow White. When she ate the apple, she didn't know that it was poison. All right? A way was made for her to come back. God, if you truly did not know, let's say you go into business with somebody and they're going to steal from you. It's like us. We thought it was okay to get something through this gentleman because he wants to bless us. Well, we didn't know. But it revealed itself later. We cut all ties. We didn't go down that road. If God reveals to you in any way that there's a problem, be obedient. A couple of months ago, towards the end of last year, a woman phones me. She says to me, is this Prophet Rian? I said, no. But my name is Rian. She says, oh, are you not a prophet? I said, no, I'm. You know, I do prophesy over people, but I will never call myself a prophet. What can I do for you? She says, you prophesied something over my son about 10 years ago. Can I talk to you about it? I said, okay, talk to me. She says, my son came to see you, and you gave my son a word that the woman that he is with is going to destroy him and that he should break all ties with her. I said, yes, I actually do remember that. She says, well, when you gave him that word, he did go home and he did say to her, this is not going to work. I'm sorry. I believe God spoke to me and we have to cut ties. He broke with her for 2 or 3 months. She kept coming and coming and coming. He took her back. Today, she is where the word was given. She has destroyed his life. The problem is now he has 2 kids with her. She controls every facet of his life. He has no peace, he has no joy, he's constantly depressed. Now what must they do? Well, what can they do? God spoke. God warned. If he had been obedient, God would have blessed him, but he was not. He probably thought to himself, oh, this is a load of nonsense. How does this nonsense work? Can God give a word like that? Yes, he can. Does it happen all the time? No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to happen most of the time. But this boy made a decision after God told him, this will be the end result if you walk this road. He went back to that road. And he paid a very dear price. You see, the woman that he's married to is a Jezebel. Maybe some of you don't know what the Jezebel spirit is. It is a female spirit that dominates the male. It will give the male no peace. It walks over the male. It treats the male like rubbish. Causes untold misery, sadness, and pain. And let's get one thing straight. The Word of God commanded Adam. Therefore, a man shall leave his father's house and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one. Therefore, you must rule over your wife. With all due respect to all the ladies here. And I'll show you that scripture if you don't like it. It is the husband's responsibility to rule the marriage whether you like it or not. But the Jezebel spirit will never submit to the male because she wants to rule the marriage. And the moment you turn things upside down from the way God wants it to be, you've got problems. Because the Word of God says, if you do not obey, you choose death and destruction. So guess what's happening? Death and destruction. And then the grandmother went on to tell me how bad this has affected the children. because the woman is absolutely destructive when it comes to her children. She treats them like rubbish. The kids don't even want to live with her anymore. God warned him, don't walk this road. He chose to disobey. Today he's up. I said to the mother, well, with all due respect, I don't know what we can do because, yes, I can now go pray against this marriage, but the marriage has already happened. The destruction has already come, and we can't change the woman's heart if she doesn't want to change her heart. So what must we do now? You should never have been in that situation. God didn't want you there. Okay. Let's go get back to this. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. So that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast. There's something very important here that I want you to hear and not forget. God says, choose life so that you and your children may be blessed and prosper. You see, here's the thing. Our decisions affect not just us, but also our children. When you choose the curse, you and your children will suffer. When you choose the blessing, both you and your children will be blessed. Some of us are still trying to deal with the curse that came because of decisions of both us and our mom and our grandma and what. It takes time to work through all of that rubbish. But as you work through it, God is faithful and just, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Let me help you to understand something. To take somebody that baths every day and clean them is probably going to take you 5 minutes. Not even, it's going to take you 2 minutes. To take somebody that has never been washed in the last 50 years is not going to take you 5 minutes. It might take you a week. It might take you longer. I can't tell you how much iniquity is in you and in your family because of decisions made before. I can tell you that anything can be cleaned, but it becomes a process. Amen? And we have to start making the right decisions. The day that we come to salvation, this is the decision that we are facing, life or death, blessing or curse. And there is no middle way. It's black or white. There's no gray. Here are the conditions for life and God's blessing. Please listen. The first condition that you have to adhere to if you want life or blessing, first, make a choice to serve God. Make a choice to serve God. It has to start somewhere. It must start with you. Second, he says, love God. You know, a lot of people, it's like they serve God out of fear because they don't want to go to hell, but they don't particularly like him either. It's like, he's up there and he doesn't like me and he's absolutely with lightning bolts now and then. And like, you know, I tolerate him, but no, God says, love me. You've got to love him. Second, thirdly, he says, walk in my ways. The answer asked the question just now, how do I know? The number one way that you know is you must know the Word of God, or you must be taught the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of things that the Word of God speaks about that you have no idea about until somebody teaches you and you receive it. And then, let me help you to understand something. You can't have this attitude, oh, but I don't see it that way. People often say to me, oh, but I don't see it that way. Then you better talk to God about it. You've already made a decision to do it your way. It's His way. By the highway, I mean the wide road which leads to death. Keep his commands, keep his decrees, keep his law. Then what is going to happen? Ultimately, you will come to the place of blessing. Now, let's ask another question. Does it mean that if I make a choice today, that I'm going to start walking the right road, I'm going to start loving God, I'm going to start doing everything right? Does it mean that there's going to be no more problems? You might still have residue of the other rubbish that happened that needs to be dealt with. And it's only when you choose to deal with it that you start moving away from it. Amen? What are the conditions that lead to death and the curse? First, the Bible says, if you turn your heart away from God. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we just have this thing, oh, but the world is better. The moment you turn your heart away from God, you call death and you call the curse. Disobedience. Sometimes we know that we're supposed to do one thing, but we couldn't be bothered. What's the worst that could happen? We do the opposite. We call death, we call destruction. The Bible says running after false gods. Well, I'm not saying anybody here is going to do it, but sometimes people start with Christianity and then in a short time, oh, but you know what, I found the new age. It's better for me. Or I found Reiki, or I found this, or I found that. You cannot serve two masters. You either serve God or you serve the devil. You can't serve both because God will withdraw you from your life if you serve other gods. Okay. What are the effects of the blessing of God and life? Well, firstly, exactly what it says. When you begin to walk the way God wants to walk your life, the decisions are the way God wants it to be, you will have what the Bible calls life. Abundant life. There will be increase. There will be multiplication. In other words, you have a little bit in time, God will cause it to grow and grow and grow. And the most important thing is you will be blessed. That means that there will be a supernatural power released upon your life that will ultimately take you to a place that everybody can see your blessing. Again, does it happen overnight? No, it doesn't. It takes time. But that's the road God will help you to be on. What are the effects of the curse? Firstly, he said, destruction will come upon you. What is destruction? Destruction, you should see destruction this way. I'm trying to build a wall this way. Eddie is standing on the other side with a 10-pound hammer and he's breaking the wall down. I put one brick on, he breaks the brick off. I put another brick on, he breaks the brick off. After 10 years, I've actually got less than I started with. Destruction. Then he said, you will have a short life. Not everybody that dies, dies because it was their time. I told you, there's two things that will come fetch you. One is the spirit of death, which is a demon. The other is the angel of death because it's your time. If you do things out of God's will for your life, if you mess with things you shouldn't mess with, the spirit of death comes to fetch you. It's not God's time necessarily for you to go. Can people die before their time? Yes, and they often do. But again, they can't blame anybody but themselves for that because it's got to do with the choices that they make in their life. And then he says, there will be a curse on you and your descendants. That's the scary part. Some of us that's here today, we have got a lot of problems because of our descendants and the things that they chose to mess around with. Can it be dealt with? Yes. But again, it's a process. You don't pray today and everything is sorted out tomorrow. It's a process. But you will get there if you stay on the road. It is possible, and let's talk about that, that you can say to me, but Leon, you know what, about 5 years, 10 years ago, I chose life, but I still have a lot of destruction. Yes, I understand that. There's things that need to be sorted out. There's things that need to be dealt with. Let me help you to understand something. The devil is a thief, right? The Bible says the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If I have a house, let's say that this wall that we are in now represents our house. We've got four doors. Then at the back, we've got another two. And then at the back there, where we can't see, we've got another two. So it's two, it's four, eight doors. Right. What must you do if you don't want the thief to steal from you? You must make sure that they're all locked. You must make sure that they are barricaded. You must make sure that they are safe and that they are secure. What if we leave seven of the eight doors open? How many thieves are going to come in? Well, this is South Africa. You can have a whole location here of thieves if you don't watch out. It's like they're going to come squat here. They're going to come and take over your house. You know, that's what's happening in the center of town, Joburg. There's some of those buildings that the building's too empty for too long. Somebody broke the door open. Nobody did nothing about it. The next moment you know there's a very busy building. Everybody lives there. Oh, but this is not my house. You can't evict me. That's how the thief works. When you leave doors open, they come in. Every one of them is a thief. How long is it going to take to evict them? Well, how long does it take to get somebody off property in South Africa? It takes a while. In the spirit world, it's exactly the same. You can't just evict everything, boom. You're going to have to fight room by room by room to get them out. In some rooms, you can have 5. In some rooms, you can have 20. How do I know? I don't know what you've gone up to. But I can tell you something. With God on your side, you will clean every room in time. It doesn't come up. It's a process. I want to remind you, when the Israelites went into the promised land, God said, I will not give you the whole land at once. You will fight for it city by city. And only once you've conquered this city will I allow you to move on to the next city. In your life, it's no different. God wants you to fight room by room. That room is full of rebellion. Maybe some of you can relate to it. Many of us have a rebellious spirit. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. I don't have to do what you say. Sometimes we have that attitude with our parents. Many of you at school had that attitude with your teachers. Where does rebellion come from? Well, it doesn't come from God. Satan is the original rebel. And the more you have that attitude, the more you've given him power over your heart. Now, guess what? Now you become a child of God, but the spirit of rebellion has multiplied inside of you. And every now and then, you have this rebellious attitude that you don't know where it comes from, but it's there. What must happen? We must go fight. Then there can be fear. In life, we were exposed to certain things that could have caused fear. Let's say a big accident, a traumatic event that happened in front of you. Somebody got killed right in front of you. It could be things that you watched on the television that created fear. It can be a lot of things. That room has to be cleansed. It takes time. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse... Okay, sorry. I want to say this to you. I'm not doing for time. I'm probably running out of time. Okay, next week I'm going to continue this teaching. You better come because you have to hear these things. This is about life and death. This is about blessing and curse. You want to be blessed, come and come listen because we have to get you to the place that you experience the blessing, not the curse. That you have life, not death. Amen? So I'm going to just cut it there and next week will be part 2. All right. For now, has anybody learned something? Give the Lord a big hand.